I've been listening, reading, and having lots of conversations about racism in America lately, which is refreshing but also exhausting. But conversations are important, especially about a topic that resides at the very heart of our diverse society. Of course, it's also frustrating. People come at racism from different perspectives, and people are at different stages of understanding the cause and effect of America's racial issues. There are 100 different sentiments that can and should be analyzed in these conversations, but one keeps coming up that always gives me the pause. They say slavery ended 150 years ago. Isn't it time for black people to get over it? At this point, they're just using it as an excuse for a higher crime and poverty rates. We all have equal rights now. They need to stop playing the victim and take responsibility. But that's not racism, that's reality. But we'll be talking about this and more on this episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 18th ever episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. I'm your host, Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. Before we get started, I do want to say thank you to Tasha Simpson for becoming a supporter of this show, and that you all can become supporters of this show by going to anchor.fm/tolson/support. Again, that is anchor.fm/tolson/support. Now let's get into the verbal disclaimer. This episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist is not for those without an open mind. From the title, you already know that this topic is something that many of you will not be able to listen to and understand nor bear the severity of. This episode covers a very controversial topic of white victimization and racism in America. Opinions stated in this episode are those of solely Jarius and not of Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Radio Public, Google, Apple, or anyone else. Viewer discretion is advised. I've seen various versions of the slavery was 150 years ago story over and over lately, and it's usually followed by stating that they can't be racist, that they have some type of black family member or their percentage of ethnicity. I can go into all kinds of academic rhetoric about it, but instead I'm going to tell a story. Once upon a time, there was a handful of blue houses in a neighborhood of yellow houses. Each day, the yellow house owners would dump all of their trash into the blue house yards. Blue house owners hated it, of course, but if they complained, the yellow house owners would beat them senseless. If they went to the authorities, they beat them senseless too. Day after day, so much garbage filled the blue house's yards that it was impossible to clear it all. So the blue house people did their best to live their lives around it. After years and years of this, the blue house folks said enough was enough. They banded together and blocked the road so nobody could get home. The yellow house owners tried to beat them up like they always had, but the blue house owners refused to move until the trash dumpers would listen. The blue house people explained the obvious fact that it was unfair to dump garbage in their yards and vowed to continue to block the road until it stopped. It took a while, but finally the yellow house people conceded. It was a new day for the blue house people as they cleaned the yellow house owners' garbage out of their yards once and for all. But the blue house owners' woes weren't over. Their lawn was dead from years without sunlight. Their shrubs were withered from the toxic sludge that seeped in year after year. Some of the poison even penetrated the foundation of the house, causing structural issues. The Blue House people tried many things to remedy all of this, but there was so much damage, it proved difficult. Meanwhile, the Yellow House owners' yards thrived, as they always had, and soon they started complaining about how the Blue Houses looked. "What's the matter?" they asked the Blue House owners. "We don't put garbage in your yard anymore. Why aren't you fixing up your yard?" The Blue House people explained that they're trying, but were running into some problems. Their tools were rusty from years in storage. They needed new plants, some good soil to restart their grass, and maybe some fertilizer. Since the Yellow House owners had caused this damage with their garbage, perhaps they could be a little understanding, maybe even help with some of what it would take to fix it. "Don," since the Yellow People House said, "You're just looking for a handout. You just need to work harder. Look at your yard. What a mess. We don't dump our garbage on you anymore. We're equal now. There's nothing wrong with your soil or your tools. You just don't want to work at it like we do. I bust my butt to get my lawn working this way. It's your fault that yours isn't thriving and your house needs work." You see the problem? This is what it sounds like when people, white people, refuse to acknowledge the generational societal effects of America's racial history. This is what it sounds like when people place the blame for crime, poverty, and other socioeconomic issues in mostly black communities solely onto the black people themselves. It is patently unfair to deny that so many challenges those communities face are a direct result of the centuries of white supremacy. And it is blatant arrogance for white people to expect black people to take responsibility for the racial disparities in our economic injustice systems when white people were the ones who caused them in the first place. You cannot enslave a group of people for 300 years, systematically and legally oppress them for another 100, and think that everything is hunky-dory a mere 50 years later. I know that many white people want to move on, to leave that ugly history in the past, to start with a clean slate, but there's no such thing. We can't just wish away the far-reaching effects of oppression. We can't pretend that a mere two generations after the Civil Rights Movement, which was oppressed by a good portion of our population, we have successfully weeded out and the deep-seated racism that fueled centuries of mistreatment both inside and outside our justice system. And this isn't about white liberal guilt. I've had enough with that stupid phrase. The very least, and I mean the very least, that white Americans can do is to acknowledge that their skin ancestors gave birth to our current mess, even if you directly had nothing to do with it. Of course, you haven't personally enslaved anyone, but if you denied the ongoing effects of our country's legacy of racism and refused to own your role in helping remedy the problems that it caused, then you are no better than that yellow house owner chastising his neighbor for the state of his yard. You're dishonest, unjust, and racist. So please stop telling people of color that they're playing the victim. Stop telling people of black people to get over the past. Stop pointing to black on black crime as if black people themselves created the poverty-ridden neighborhoods where such crimes take place. Start listening to people when they tell you their experiences and stop policing their feelings about those experiences. Just stop and listen and acknowledge. Just start there. It's really not too much to ask. And I realize the yard analogy is not perfect. To make it more accurate, I'd have to start with the yellow house owners forcing the blue house owners into the neighborhood to take care of the yellow house owners for no pay, in addition to raping their women, stealing their children, and murdering them publicly. But I figured a simpler illustration would make the point more clearly to the same people who chose not to acknowledge it in the first place. Now, before I end this episode, I do want to put a little disclaimer out here that this November, the election is going to be a different election that is going to set a standard for the years to come. Right now, there are threats to defund the United States Postal Service, and there are people discrediting the mail-in voting system that is not new to this country. It's been used for years. The only difference between absentee and mail-in ballots are the name. The guy in the White House who is discrediting the mail-in voting and absentee ballots, he's used them a lot of times before, but I'm not going to get into that right now. What I am going to tell you all is check your registration status, register to vote, and vote. You can check your registration status and even register to vote at whenweallvote.org or vote.org.